tell you what, there's a lot of Christmas music and a lot of cool things that they're doing. So thank you, Brittany. Such a good job. I heard she actually used to dance with a dance company. So getting to show off her, not just talents, but worship the Lord in that kind of way. And so you don't even have to go to the Nutcracker Ballet or pay money to see it. All you have to do is come to the fountain. But anyway, I have a question for you this morning. And you got to be honest. You're in church. The question is this. How many of you have already finished all of your Christmas shopping? Go ahead and raise your hands. Raise your hands high. It's for the others of you in there, you're like, oh, don't ask that question. These are the overachievers. It's okay. Now, I'm not going to ask you who hasn't started yet, men. But here's the other question. How many of you have at least, let's say, 3 Christmas gifts or more that you still have to purchase? Just raise your hand. All right, we got a few in there. Some of us do our best work under pressure, you know? I know that. But you also know there's a naughty list and a nice list, so there you go. But anyway, I don't know what's more fun, receiving a great gift on Christmas or sharing a great gift with others. I don't know. What do y'all think? Sharing a great gift or giving a great gift? What do you think? Or receiving a great gift or sharing one. I think one of the things, I love getting gifts. All of us like that. All of us like getting a great gift. But as far as the sharing part, I learned that it's so amazing when I met my wife, Mandy. Now, she wasn't my wife at the time, right? I just met her. But I remember we first started dating. It was our first Christmas. And the stakes were kind of high. It's Christmas time. It's time to get a gift. And somehow this gift, I want it to demonstrate that you're not a dud, that I think a lot of you, you know? And I want to show you in some kind of way that you're special to me. And so, man, that's kind of some pressure. And so I asked my sisters, I asked my mom, like, what are girls like? You know, I don't even know, you know? And I remember, you know, going to the mall, going to every store, trying to find the perfect Christmas gift. And, you know, as I looked around, I finally found it and I brought it home and I, you know, put it somewhere in the house. And what I learned is it was kind of a similar concept of when, guys, if you've ever proposed to your spouse before, when you buy that ring, it burns a hole in your pocket. There's a saying that people say, but it is true. Once you have that gift, it's like, man, you've got to give that away. And it was kind of like this with this gift that I got Mandy. And so I got this gift and it did absolutely no good for it to just sit on my shelf. It was kind of like, oh, I couldn't wait to just, I knew what it was. I'd already received it, if you will. But it wasn't special until I shared it with her. I let her open it and let her kind of experience the gift for herself. And isn't that the kind of the way good gifts are? I mean, obviously they're great to receive, but sometimes we receive even more joy when we just get to share a great gift with somebody else. So as we think about the Christmas story this morning, it's really all about this incredible gift of what God came to give us on Christmas, really himself. I mean, what Christmas is all about, as Santa shared about last week for you, is Christmas is about experiencing the gift of Jesus, his light, his peace, his hope. And today I want to talk with you about how we can experience grace this Christmas. And so if you have your Bibles or your smartphones, the words will also be on the screen. I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 2. This is kind of the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes of the Christmas story. In fact, if you've ever watched Charlie Brown Christmas, you're familiar with Luke chapter 2 because he quotes it from the stage. One of the characters does. But anyway, as we think about the Christmas story, I think there's not a better picture of what God's grace looks like than in the way God came to communicate this good news of his grace to. In fact, it's so interesting who God chooses to be the first ones to announce this news to. Of course, Mary and Joseph, they got the news first. But I'm talking about who is it that God chose to announce this news, good news of great joy to. And I guess let me ask you a question. Whenever you receive good news, maybe you get a great report from the doctor. Maybe you get some amazing news at work. Who is it that you normally share good news with? I mean, for most of us, it's usually the people who are closest to us. I call my wife. I can't wait to tell her the good news because it's good news and I want her to share it. And the same is true for you. When you experience good news, you want other people to experience it. You want to share that with them so that they can experience it too. You don't want them to miss out. And so, but in the first century, back in the time when Jesus was born, if you wanted the news of good news of great joy to spread so rapidly, you would think it would make sense to kind of reach out and to share the good news with people who had the most influence. King Herod would be a great choice. King Herod, of course, was the king of all of Judea. He had a lot of power, a lot of responsibility, and he had kind of the administrative capabilities. He had the influence. He also had, think about it, all the systems to spread the news everywhere. He could send horses and chariots out and get the news out everywhere. That would make a lot of sense. You would also think, if you were writing the story, you know, God's story, that maybe you would choose the person who had the most influence in the religious community, the high priest. Now, the high priest was kind of the top dog in religious life, and so it would make sense to everybody in the Jewish community had been waiting on the Savior to come, their Messiah, and so why don't you go and share it with the most important religious leader during the time and let him share that, hey, this Messiah that we waited for has come. But I want you to check out who God chose. Who God chose to share the gift of Jesus with first on Christmas. It's found in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And it says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." The King James says they were sore afraid. I love that. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" And so out of everybody that God could have cast the vision to and shared the good news to on this first Christmas, God chose to deliver the most important news in all of creation to a group of shepherds who were out in a field in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you would think that God would kind of choose a place like New York City, you know, how all the ticker tape going around, "Jesus is born, I want everybody to know about it." But he picks this nowhere town outside of Bethlehem in a field with some people that wouldn't have even made the guest list for most parties. In fact, the shepherds, the reason they wouldn't have made any of the party guest list is because they wouldn't have been considered. They were the least important group in all of society during Jesus's time. They were major outcasts. In fact, they had a really hard job, obviously taking care of sheep. They had to spend all their time 24/7 in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night, as it says, protecting them, feeding them, guiding their sheep. They'd have to stay with them everywhere. And the shepherds would know everything there was to know about their sheep. They know them by name. They know the mood swings that each of them had. You know, they know everything about each individual sheep. It was like their family. And because of that, everybody in Jesus' society saw shepherds as kind of like animals. You know, so they wouldn't have even thought of these people at all in so many different ways. And so they lived outside for months at a time, and they weren't clean cut. They weren't sharp dressed. They were kind of dirty and smelly. And because of that, it was in a culture where there was kind of this unclean and clean. You had to be kind of clean in your life and clean in some kind of way around you in order to kind of enter into the presence of God. And if anything was unclean, it's kind of like you're excluded. And so because of the nature of their work, working with animals who were unclean, they were kind of labeled as too unclean to even enter the temple. They weren't even welcomed in church, if you will. And so if you were a religious person during the time, it would kind of be unthinkable for God to announce the most important news to a bunch of smelly shepherds out in a field. I mean, their testimony wasn't even valid in a court of law during that time. They were kind of seen as they're just not trusted, those shepherds. I mean, they're just kind of like animals. We don't know anything about them. We can't trust anything they say. So knowing that, why in the world would God choose, out of all people, to come to a group of shepherds with the most important news in all of creation that a Savior has been born, telling a group that was untrusted, telling a group that was unimportant and really had no influence in society? Why? Well, I think verse 10 kind of gives us a clue. Here's what it says in verse 10. Again, let's go back. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" For all the people. That's the clue. See, God chose the shepherds in order to kind of over-communicate to them and to overstate to us that Jesus' grace, that Jesus' coming isn't for the elite. Jesus' coming isn't just for the people who have all their life cleaned up and have been in church forever. Jesus and his grace is for all people. Because everybody in that society would have said, oh, I mean, we're waiting on the Messiah, not the shepherds. You know, they wouldn't have believed it. But God was trying to say, no, you don't understand. My grace isn't just for the well-educated and the well-behaved. It's for all people. It's not just for the well-mannered and the well-dressed. It's for all people. It's not just for the people who have great credit scores, the people who live in nice homes in this area. It's for all people. It's not just for the people who grew up in church or know so much about the Bible. The grace of God is given for every single person. And so Jesus is trying to communicate to us that he chose the shepherds to teach us this lesson, that his love and his grace is offered for you and for me and for everybody. In fact, that's really what grace is all about. You know, the word grace, we throw that around a lot in church, right? We sing, "This is amazing grace." We sing all these things about grace. And we kind of throw it, and it's almost like lobbing language in the universe, but sometimes we don't really grasp the reality of what grace really means. Now, I can tell you in a definition, but I think that the story communicates it even better. But the definition, basically, it's the grace is this undeserved, unmerited, unable to pay back gift of God's love. It means that God loves you more than anything that you could ever imagine, and it has nothing to do with anything that you've ever done. It has nothing to do with anything that you ever have done. God just loves you. In fact, there's an acronym that I came across this week, and I thought it was helpful for me. Maybe it'll be helpful for you. And it's GRACE. Here's what it is. It's gained righteousness at Christ's expense. Gained righteousness at Christ's expense. What does that mean? It means that all of us, because of the way that we turn away from God so many times in our life, all of us have this broken relationship between us and God. All of us have these fractured relationships in our life with other people. And so many of us are struggling to be whole in the way God intended us to be. And so the reality is, what it means is that this gained righteousness means that because of Jesus, you can be made right with God. Not because you're so good, not because you've done so many things in your life to merit it, but because Jesus' love came on Christmas. But he didn't just come to show us what love is. He came and he was born so that he could die. He died on a cross, and with his blood, he paid the price for your sins and for mine and made a way for us to have right standing with God so that we could gain righteousness at his expense. And all that we have to do to experience this is to simply receive his grace through faith. But I think there's not a better picture of grace than God coming, not just in the way that he came, but also coming to the people who had the least to offer. And I think Jesus is trying to tell us and really overstate about his incredible love, that he loves us so much, not just in the way that he came, but in who he chose to demonstrate the vastness of how far his love extends, that he loves us that much. But think about the religious community. Think about the people during that time. They were waiting on their Messiah. I mean, it would have been maybe seemed inappropriate. It would have seemed out of place for God to choose and to come to a bunch of shepherds that they thought that maybe they weren't even worthy to come near the Son of God. They were unclean, and they lived in conditions that were unclean, and they smelled. And I find it interesting that they weren't welcomed. They weren't welcomed in the temple. They weren't welcomed in religious life. But Jesus, God, through the Father and through Jesus coming, invites them to the scene at the manger. I find that fascinating. And it's an important lesson for us. And I think what Jesus is wanting us to realize is that we all need Jesus' grace. We all need his grace. In fact, Jesus came to show us that his love is offered to even those who have never turned to God and is given for people who could never deserve it. And that means all of us. His grace is for us. And so it would have been easy for the religious community to kind of look at this gift of Jesus. They've been waiting on their Messiah. It'd be easy for them to kind of exclude the shepherds and to say, no, guys, you don't understand. This gift, I know it was under the tree, but this gift isn't for you. This gift is our gift. Now, I'm the oldest of five kids, and I know a lot about kind of when you get a family gift for Christmas. You know, one of my favorite family gifts that we ever got was a trampoline. It was awesome. We had some major wrestling matches and stuff like that in the neighborhood with that. But anyway, being the oldest, in the family, whenever we get a family gift, I was really good at telling my brothers and sisters, well, I know they said this is for the family, but I'm the oldest, and this is kind of my gift. And so I'll kind of show you how you can use it and when you can use it. So this is my trampoline, you know? And I was good at doing stuff like that. And I think this would have been something that the religious leaders might have been tempted to do. Hey, I know it's got your name on it. It says all people, but you're not people in our society. You know, it's not for you. It's not for people like you. Jesus is kind of exclusively for us. And it got me thinking, what are some things in this society where we kind of experience things that are supposed to be for everybody, but they're kind of really offered to only a few, to an exclusive few? And one of the things that I started thinking about is I think there's a lot of products that are like that. Products that we buy that are supposed to be for everybody, but they're kind of only marketed to the few and the proud, not the Marines, but the people who are elite, right? And so here's one of the things. It's a bottled water company called Bling H2O. Bling H2O. Ah, wow. Doesn't that look good? Bling H2O, it's just a bottled water company. And by the way, all the contents that are in there, all of it, it's just water. It's just marketed in a really, really cool bottle and everything. Now, you won't believe, this is what the ad says. This is hysterical to me. More than a pretty taste. Bling H2O is pop culture in a bottle. It's not for everyone, just for those who bling. Some of you are like, I got to get one of those for Christmas. Ordinary bottled water is for ordinary people. But for those who have a taste for the finer things, Bling H2O may be the perfect thirst quencher. So there you go. If you're still looking for a Christmas gift, if you raise your hand, there you go. Bottles of Bling H2O, this may change your mind, start at $38 a bottle for water. There's also one online that I found that is sold, a bottle of water, for $2,600. Really pretty bottle, but water, you know, go to Kroger, go somewhere, get the cheap kind. It's water. Here's another one. Another one is a toilet paper company. Kind of sounds like something that should be for everyone, but it's not. It's called Renova Black Toilet Paper. Ooh, don't you want some of that? This is hysterical to me. This is, everybody needs toilet paper, right? But this is only for the elite. Here's what the ad says. Elegant, sophisticated, rebellious. This is hysterical to me. Alternative and eternally fashionable. Black toilet paper isn't for everyone, but it is synonymous with sophistication and style. Why waste your time with so last season two-ply white when you can treat your cellulite-free gem tone tush to stylish black? Some of y'all are like, somebody asked me in the second service, I wonder if the dye comes off. It's like, you can buy it, buddy, and check it out. So this toilet paper, Renova toilet paper, black toilet paper, it goes for about $10 a roll. But I have good news for you if you're still Christmas shopping. If you get in a pack of six, it works out to be only about $3 per roll. So there you go. That's what you call flushing money down the drain, right? So anyway, it's so funny and we kind of laugh at this. But I think in reality, when we look at the message of Jesus, I'm afraid so many times that we're tempted to treat Jesus like that as well. I mean, we act as if God's grace sometimes has limits in our lives. We look at other people and we say, oh, well, God's grace is for you, but Jesus can't cover my sin. Or maybe we look at other people and we say, well, look, Jesus is really for us, but he's not for people like you. And so the reality is we oftentimes don't share Jesus with some people because we think that maybe they don't have a chance of responding. Maybe they don't have a chance of responding because they're not church people. I mean, they're not religious people like us. Why would we share the message of Jesus with them? Because they wouldn't be interested. But Jesus came to make it clear to them and to clear to us that Jesus' grace is for all people. That he came to reach people who are far away from God and to bring them into a relationship with him. So here's how the story continues. How do you follow toilet paper? All right, verse 12, here's what it says. It says, this will be a sign to you. The angel says, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Let's stop right there. Isn't it amazing, these shepherds, they receive the incredible announcement, the news that this is really for them. This grace is for them. But they also get to experience the glory of the Lord shining around them. Isn't that amazing? They get to experience all these things God's trying to over-communicate to them. Verse 15, It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So what did the shepherds do? When they encountered grace like this that was scandalous in the eyes of so many people, when they were invited to experience Jesus and his grace, what did they do? They didn't wait. They didn't sit back. They didn't say, well, let me change my clothes and let me get my life together before I come to Jesus. No, that's not what they did. They pursued him. They simply went and they received his grace. So that's the first thing that Jesus invites us to do in order to experience God's grace is this, to receive his grace. When we experience his grace, the first invitation for us is to receive grace. Receive his grace. I mean, just like you do on Christmas morning, the shepherds couldn't wait to open up this gift of God's love. They couldn't wait to get there and to experience it for themselves because Jesus and his grace was given. It wasn't given just to remain packaged up or sit on a shelf. It was given so that they could respond and so that they could receive it. And that's the invitation for all of us on Christmas and every single person, that God gave us the good news of Christmas so that we could respond to his grace. Maybe for the first time to enter into a relationship with Jesus, or maybe even to stop in our lives. Maybe you've accepted Jesus a long time ago, but maybe you've had this tendency of trying to prove yourself to God or trying to earn right standing with him through some kind of religious effort. And the invitation of Jesus is this: I'm offering you my grace. I'm offering it to you as a gift, and you don't have to do anything to earn it. It's given for you. All you have to do is receive it and accept it. No matter who you are, no matter how you look, no matter what you've done, Jesus has offered the free gift of his grace for you. So the second thing I think that this also invites us to do is not to just receive it for ourselves, but it's also a reminder, especially during this Christmas season, number two, to show grace, to show grace. You know, as a recipient of God's grace, once you've received it, I think you and I have a responsibility to show people grace, to show people grace. I mean, oftentimes I find it's easy to be hypocritical when we receive the undeserved grace of Jesus, and then we never let things go when people kind of mess up in their lives. We do that sometimes. And so the invitation is to show the same grace to others that you've already received from God. Now, I know this is kind of difficult, especially, and maybe even a timely word, as we're approaching the Christmas season, family and friends around. Sometimes it's difficult, especially if you have family and friends that act like this clip from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Check it out.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
What, dear? Grace! Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, you know, that's the way it is. We have to show people grace. And I know some of you got people in your life that are kind of like Cousin Eddie, you know, the guy that stood up with the Pledge of Allegiance, people that kind of show up at your house unannounced and with all their family and their dog that's crazy, and they hook up the RV in your HOA neighborhood. You know, we've got people in our lives like that. I know some of us have people in our lives like Aunt Edna that can't hear, can't understand the difference between the blessing and the Pledge of Allegiance. We all deal with people in our lives that kind of make you want to shake your head and say, oh, bless their heart. You know what that means in the South, you know, bless your heart. But I want you to remember that as a recipient of God's grace, that once you've received God's grace, you also have a responsibility to cut people some slack, to forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, and to show people grace in your life and in their lives. And so we receive grace. We're to show people grace. And for the third thing, I want you to check out what the shepherds did after they experienced Jesus. Here's what it says, verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So what did they do? What did the shepherds do? They didn't just keep the grace of God to themselves. They didn't say, oh, this is just such a nice gift. I'm going to just take it home and, you know, and just put it on a shelf somewhere. No. Once they received God's grace, they went out and they shared God's grace with everybody. I mean, so the third thing that Jesus wants us to do, and once we experience his grace, is to share grace with others, share God's grace with others. And the reason is because it's for everybody. His love is for every single person. And it's our job to make sure that everybody knows that they're invited to experience his grace too. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that this Christmas. You don't have to, you know, be a televangelist. You don't have to go and knock on people's doors and, you know, try to arm wrestle them into a conversation about Jesus. I mean, all you have to do is simply do what the shepherds did. They simply went out and they spread the news. They shared the news with everybody around them. So for some of you, I would imagine it would mean going to the people in your spheres of influence, sharing about the good news of Jesus with people, and then going beyond that, just like the shepherds did. And when the shepherds did that, you notice it wasn't offensive. People were amazed at what they said. And it wasn't offensive because they didn't try to tiptoe around everybody and say, well, I know that you're not church people, and I know that you may think this doesn't include you. No. What they did is they simply said, guys, I've experienced Jesus. I've experienced his grace. They knew it was good news for them, and they knew it would be good news for everybody else. I've experienced this, and I want you to experience Jesus too. That's what it looks like to share your faith. Here's what I've experienced. I want you to experience it too. And so one of the ways that you can do that this Christmas is Christmas Eve is coming up on Thursday. And one of the simplest ways in order to share God's grace with people is to simply invite people to church. And the thing that's cool about that is there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. One of the things we have is social media, incredible tool. In fact, the selfie thing that we did, that wasn't just to be cute. One of the ways that you can actually share about Jesus with people is by simply posting a picture up on Facebook with your ticket and simply saying, hey, I want you to come and see, come and experience Christmas at the fountain. You can sit with me, something like that. And that's a simple way. And tell them what 5:30 service. But this is also one of the times of the year when people are most open to receiving a personal invitation. And I know that's kind of like, oh, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? People are so open on Christmas. Everybody wants to go to a Christmas service, it seems like. In fact, there was a new study that came out. It was like 80% of the people, it was done by Lifeway. And I think it was around 80% of the people who were polled said that if they were asked to attend a service during Christmas, they would say yes, if they were asked. And the thing that's so cool about that is you and I have this incredible opportunity to invite people in our spheres of influence. And so I want to ask you, maybe there's somebody that God's been tapping you on the shoulder, maybe a neighbor that doesn't know, that is not a church person, that doesn't go to church, maybe people in your family, your friends, your coworkers, your classmates. But I want to ask you, who might God be prompting you to invite? You know, just like the shepherds, people don't naturally assume that the message of Jesus is for them. And we think they are. I mean, church is for everybody. Everybody knows that. The shepherds didn't know that. And people in your spheres of influence don't assume that they can come to worship at the fountain. And so it takes God's people being the messengers and being willing to invite people to experience the good news. The band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in a song called Noel. And the song Noel, we say this word a lot, Noel, and you see it around Christmas, and it's got a couple different meanings. It's sometimes synonymous with Christmas, but it comes from kind of two different ideas. The word Noel, number one, is a word that kind of comes from the French word that means birth. And so it's about celebrating Christ's birth. But there's also another translation, not a lease, that really is, the meaning is news. And so as they kind of sing this song, I'm going to give you some time to just respond and just to sit and just to be with the Lord. And as you kind of hear this song, I want this to be a reminder that Jesus's grace is really good news. It's not just good news for you, but it's good news for everybody. And so I just want to encourage us, just sit in this moment and let you respond to God, respond to his grace. And as you hear this song, maybe you can spend some time praying. I gave you kind of three different ways that you can respond to grace, and maybe all three of these apply to you. Maybe for some of you, it's like, hey, I need to receive God's grace. Maybe even for the first time, I need to know that God's grace covers me. Maybe for some of you, it's like, man, family's coming into town, and I need to be reminded that I've got to show people grace. But maybe for some of you, and the biggest thing I want you to be praying about is how you can share God's grace with people. Who might God put in your path that maybe you can say just something simple, hey, here's what I've experienced, and I want you to experience it too. And so let's just spend some time praying over that. You have some tickets in your program. You can even pray over that, because we know that it's just a piece of paper if we don't go and invite. It's just a piece of paper if we don't pray into that. And so the thing is who might God be wanting you to invite, and pray that God would prompt the people to respond. Maybe you'd also be praying over the space and what God might want to do in the hearts and lives of people on Christmas Eve. And so let's give this time over to the Lord. Let me pray for us, and we'll continue. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you that you love us so much that you are willing to come, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to be squeezed into the body of a tiny infant. And God, we thank you that you're all of your grace and all of your glory, completely filled in human form, God with us. But God, we thank you that it's not just a story about a baby. That Christmas is a story about your love, how you came, how you were willing to live and show us what love looks like. But Jesus, how you were willing to also go to a cross for sins that you didn't commit, to die in our place and to rise again so that we could have new life in your name. Jesus, it's good news. And so help us, Jesus, to respond to your grace. Maybe to say yes to you today. Maybe God also put on our hearts people that you're prompting us to invite. And we just want to prepare the hearts of those people right now. God, we want to pray over them, and we know that you love them. And we also want to pray over this space, God. Pray over every single seed. And Jesus, we just pray that you would come and people would experience your grace. We give this time over to you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.